Pray, and I'm going to dive in to a word that's on my heart this morning. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing here in our midst already. Lord, we just turn our attention to you. We open our hearts to you, Lord. You are good. You are loving. Lord, thank you that you are here, that we're not just in a room together, void of your presence, but you are here. Lord, would you open our hearts to that reality right now? And come and have your way. Come and do what only you can do in our midst, in our hearts, and in this place. Lord, we honor your presence. Amen. Amen. I want to share this morning just around the secret place, the secret place. And it's probably for a lot of us, nothing revelatory or new, but this is such a foundational truth and something that has deeply impacted my life and deeply impacts my life and journeying with the Lord. And I really feel like this theme has just been really pressing back on my heart in a new way across this year, and I keep coming back to it. Pastor Rob's been sharing and sensing, you know, that this would be a year of divine encounters. I feel like the secret place opens the door to that. It is a wonderful space of divine encounters. For us as a worship team, we've been going after this year, keeping the flame burning, keeping that flame of our hearts burning. And so I just want to share some thoughts around this. But if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew 6, verse 6? This is Jesus speaking here. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place." Everybody say, secret place. "And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." I love this verse. There's so much in it. And I think it's important to first note that Jesus says, when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. A lifestyle of prayer. It's the assumed baseline for all believers. I think we could all agree on that. And so the Lord is saying, we should already be praying, but he's kind of prescribing a foundational way for it to occur. And if we look at what prayer is, being connection with the Lord, relationship, this is what prayer is. If our prayers are just a shopping list of needs, this isn't really going to develop or deepen a relationship, is it? Yes, the Lord says, ask, you know, ask, seek, and knock. He wants to know the things on our hearts. But prayer extends beyond this, amen? You know, if we think about the relationship dynamic, would this, if we were to just, you know, approach our spouse or our family member just with what we need, how far is that relationship going to get? It's not going to deepen or expand or grow, will it? If we look at the life of Jesus as well, a rhythm of secret place and prayer was a marker for him. You know, thinking about in Matthew, after he's fed the 5,000, it says that he went up on the mountain to pray. In Mark, it says, "In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Luke 5, "He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." And then the next chapter in Luke 6, "He went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." I think if the Son of God needed this, how much more do we? To go away, to withdraw, to pray. I think the fact that Jesus withdrew himself tells us that there is a difference between, you know, what Paul says about praying without ceasing, praying on the go, just being aware of the Lord in our day, in what we're doing at work or whatever. There's a difference between that and then the withdrawing and the going somewhere and praying in secret. The next part of that verse, but when you pray, go into your room, having a dedicated place, wherever, whatever. It might be in your room, it might be in the bathroom, it might be, you know, out in the backyard. Yes, God is wherever we go. He's always with us. But I think there's something so special and sacred about having a defined place. For me, it's sometimes our garage. We've got couches and things set up in there. Sometimes it's our walk-in robe. I probably freak back out when she's waking up and I'm like, gah, coming out of the walk-in robe. But having a place to go. And it says, when you have shut the door. This to me speaks of closeness, of privacy, tucking ourselves away from the busyness, the noise of the world, like what Jack was just talking about, the traffic, the distractions. I feel like there's so many distractions in our day, so many things vying for our attention. It's easy for our minds just to be racing with all of the things that we've got going on in our world, or our screens popping up with ads and things like this. And, you know, we've got endless possibilities of what we can do with these little devices and distraction before we know it. But tucking ourselves away, closing the door to distraction, closing the door to noise, getting before the Lord. And then it says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. It's beautiful but profound. We aren't alone when we do this. There is someone there with us. This is where we meet with our Heavenly Father. I heard some teaching on this the other day, and they pulled out something really beautiful, speaking about the door. The door being both a literal door and also a symbolic door. In John 10, Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd of the sheep, but he also refers to himself as the door. And so this act of secret place is us stepping through the door, stepping through the Son to access the Father. It's what's talked about in Hebrews 10 about this new and living way that we can enter into the Holy of Holies through the veil of the flesh of Jesus. It's what we just remembered in communion. That this access being made possible by the precious sacrifice of Jesus. And so when we step into this place, this secret place of prayer, we thank Jesus for what he did and we praise him for his sacrifice, but we don't stop at the door. We thank him by actually accessing that which he paid for with his blood, and that is communion with the Father, that is closeness with the Father. We're not alone in this place. This is where we meet with him. I think another important distinction to make as well is if we see this as just a religious practice or duty or obligation, I feel like we miss the whole point. I think if we are remembering that God the Father is actually there with us, can help us avoid stepping into that place of just going, I need to get this done and tick, I've done the thing now. But remembering he is already there. He is longing for this connection. He is longing for this intimacy. He's longing for this closeness with us. He never leaves this place. And he's just there longing for connection with us. So we need not ever feel guilty as well for not stepping in, for not stewarding this place. He's not sitting in there going, oh, okay, you haven't been praying? Well, I'm going to step out of this space and you can pray a few times and I'll wait and see if you're going to consistently pray before I come and meet with you again. No, he is constantly there. He's always just, hey, I'm here. I love you. Thank you for stepping in. It's so good to see you, my son. It's good to see you, my daughter. So we need to guard the place in our heart that helps us remain aware of the reality of God the Father in the room so that we stay away from making it an obligatory practice, obligatory rule. Moving along then, it says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What is this referring to? In the previous verses of Matthew 6, Jesus is talking about, watch that you don't do charitable deeds just in front of people so that they see how good you are. Or make sure you're not just praying out loud in front of people in the synagogue so that they see you and oh man, he must be such a holy person. And to not be seen by men. So the Lord here is addressing motive. But in verse 2 of Matthew 6, Jesus says that they may have glory from men. So that's the reward. Glory from men. If we're doing things just to be seen, Jesus is like, cool, that's your reward. If that's what you're chasing, cool, great. You can have glory from men. And I feel like, you know, if the Lord's saying that that's the reward from doing things in private, and he's saying if you do things in secret and your heart's towards me, what's the reward? Glory from the Father. Glory from the Father. More of himself. I don't know about you. I love you all dearly, but I would much rather a reward from God the Father than anything else. He wants to give us more of himself to those that can be trusted with it. So maybe we're not standing on the corner of Sydney Street like praying at the top of our lungs. Or maybe we're not jumping up on stage here at the end of the service when everyone's having tea and coffee, just like praying and why not open, hoping that people see what we're doing. But maybe we're telling our friends about our hours of prayer or posting it on social media or whatever. And the Lord's like, okay, cool, you can have that reward. That's glory for men, great. But you might miss out on mine. And the Lord's challenged me on this plenty of times. I've gone to maybe post something on social media and the Lord's like, oh, cool. Are you doing that as, you know, you're genuinely believing that's going to be an encouragement to someone? Or are you wanting others to see, oh, yeah, that Opili guy, he must be reading his word. Look, he's just shared this thing. Glory from men or glory from the Father? It's our choice. We need history with the Lord that's developed in secret that no one else knows about. And what's the reward? More of himself, more of his glory, more and more. But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We have to be so relentless in our pursuit for the secret place. I'm holding a big fat mirror in front of me as I say these words as well. Everything else is vying for our attention and time. You know, I think it's important, you know, we need to find a time that works for us. I am not a morning person whatsoever. But I'm learning in the the days and weeks and months and years go on, if I don't wake up early and give him those first fruits, that first bit of my day, I'm learning it affects the rest of my day. We only have one child, soon to be two, very excited. So by no means am I saying, you know, I've got the major opinion on what being busy looks like. That is not the case at all. But I know just in this beautiful, simple season, how difficult it can be already, let alone adding in multiple children or shift work or, you know, other factors in there. Once sweet little Essie gets up, I feel like the day just flies by and I check the watch, it's 10:30 p.m. and I'm pooped. And I think it's like, yeah, okay, cool. My wishful thinking of thinking, there'll be a pocket of time later in the day somewhere. It'll pop up. That's all it is. It's wishful thinking. And so I don't have this perfected whatsoever, but a few things I'm learning is, again, like I just said, my wishful thinking doesn't get me in the secret place. My knowing that I need to be there doesn't get me in there. It's like, cool, I love Matthew 6:6. I know it, it's true, it's good. Yep, need to get in the secret place. That doesn't actually get me in there. My excuses or extending grace to myself doesn't get me in there either. Waiting for that magical 15 minutes, half an hour later in the day, doesn't really work either. My favorite one, waiting for my energy levels to be primo before setting that nice early alarm. Like, I'm feeling really good. All right, let's set a 5 o'clock alarm. Let's go. If I wait until that day comes, that just doesn't happen. A few weeks ago, there was a... have we got any soccer fans in here? Cool. That was, very, very, very united front there. There was a final coming along and coming up, and I think there might have been like a 4:30 or 5 o'clock game or something. So I eagerly am setting my alarm, and I feel like the Holy Spirit was like, yeah, you're excited, hey. Oof, okay. How excited am I if I'm, can be so motivated by other things. But then when it comes to spending time with the Lord, being intentional, we can be so lax and blasé. I'm saying this in love because it's also amazing how consistent we can be with other things. Gotta catch that new episode. Gotta just spend another, gotta check some reels on my phone, gotta get that scroll going. But when it comes to spending time with the Lord, oh, I'm just too busy. It takes intentionality, doesn't it? It takes consistency. It takes saying no to other things. I think the other distinction to make is that no one can do this for us. It's up to us, isn't it? And we can't afford not to be here. We can't afford not to find ourselves tucked away with the Lord. I get onto Struggle Street pretty quickly. If this kind of goes by the wayside before too long, I feel like my patience with sweet little Essie wears out pretty quick. I lose intentionality with Beck. I feel like I get a bit more frantic, a bit more rushed in my mind. I find it very easy to start stepping into striving and trying to just do all of the things. And I find as well I lose sensitivity and an awareness to the reality of his presence in the moments throughout the day. So find when works for you. Find when works for you. I think it's very easy to go through our Christian life without this formation, without this discipline. I've been walking with the Lord for 25 years, and there were many years, particularly the late teens, early 20s. I was busy doing all of the things for the Lord, but I didn't have this a revelation on this whatsoever. There was no rhythm of tucking myself away and being with the Lord. And it's easy to look the part and do all of the things, but be void of abiding with God. And you might, you know, we could think, oh, well, what does it matter? What does it amount to? John 15:5 tells us that apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through life doing all of these things that the Lord actually hasn't willed me to, or to be doing them in not the way that he's willed me to do them. I think true fruitfulness comes as a result of abiding in Christ and letting him abide in us. I wonder if there are things in our world, perhaps, that maybe we could have avoided had we been found in the secret place. Or maybe things in our world that have popped up that we could have already had a divine strategy on how to combat, how to work through it. Think of all the times in the Old Testament where the Lord revealed military strategies to kings as a result of their coming in and their going out, as a result on their inquiring of the Lord. Babe, did you want to? I've asked my beautiful bride to join me up here. I was reminded this week in a podcast, actually, of the story in 2 Kings 4. So if we wouldn't mind turning there, these last few moments. The story of the widow's oil. And there's a beautiful connection here to Matthew 6. Is this okay? 2 Kings 4 says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And I feel like the Lord's asking some of us here, what do you have in your house? What do you have? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. She's in the secret place. Who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, in verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. What do you have in your house? The widow thought it was nothing, just this little jar of oil. But there was such a divine exchange out of obedience. And she shut the door and she poured it out. There was a miracle of multiplication, of provision, of generational blessing, of redemption. We don't need to feel like we're topped up to the brim, full of oil, before stepping into the secret place. The Lord isn't wanting us to clean ourselves up before we go in. He's just saying, come as you are, bring what you have. What do you have in your house? He just wants our hearts. We can bring that to Him and leave the rest up to Him, like what Chuck was saying, that we be the children, let Him be the Father. You know, there's plenty of mornings when I wake up and I feel like I have nothing to give the Lord but a measly little jar. We still pour it out. There's also plenty of times where I spend the time and there is no great heavens opening and angels appearing, and but we don't step in for a specific outcome. We step in to meet with the one who's in the room there waiting for us, our Heavenly Father. I believe this discipline that we create when our default is to run to Him is so crucial, it's so important. And so maybe we can just take the next couple of minutes to just do some business with the Lord and ask ourselves a question. Perhaps you might want to close your eyes or just turn your attention to the Lord. And in a moment, Beck's going to sing a song that she's written about coming to the table and dwelling and dining with the Lord. But maybe we can ask ourselves, what is keeping me from the secret place? Am I abiding in Him, and is the Lord abiding in me? Maybe you can ask the Father right now, God, give me a fresh revelation of the secret place. Place in my heart a hunger for Your presence, a longing. Maybe you're feeling like the widow and all you have is just this little jar. I believe the Lord's wanting to pour out oil this morning. Oil of intimacy. So just as Beck ministers, just keep aware of the Lord. He's here. And just ask with Him. Ask of Him and commune with Him. Lord, we just release Your oil here this morning. Lord, that we would be people, a community that is marked by the secret place, marked from abiding with You. Lord, that we would know how much You long for this space with us.
Secret place. I will come sit at the table.
Us that apart from you we can do nothing. that we would have encounters with you, revelation from you, closeness with you, Lord, that we would discover that reward in secret, more of your glory. That we would know that the invitation is open to us all, irrespective of what we've done or not done. That this is the Father's great delight and desire. So aware of his presence here with us this morning, and would love to open the altars if you do want to come down for ministry or for prayer, whether you just want to come down and cry out for more oil, or if you have a prayer need, or if you're here this morning and would say, I don't know who this Jesus that you're talking about is. Just as we close this morning, we'll open the altars and Beck will keep ministering here. But for the rest of us, would we just be aware of the Lord in the room as he's ministering to people around us? There is tea and coffee available, and barista coffee in the foyer. But I'll pray, and Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and for your love for each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, that you make yourself available, and it is because of the precious sacrifice of your Son. We never take that for granted, and we just say thank you. Thank you for all you have done, all that you paid for, what it's given us access to. Lord, would you bless your children this morning? Bless your precious sons and daughters and who you love so much. Lord, and as we go out into our weeks, Lord, will we be found with you in the secret place? Would we be running to spend moments in your presence where we can just commune, share what's in our hearts, pray, connect with you, Lord? In your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.